You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The first time Elaine Chelino had her hand kissed by a Frenchman in Paris was in the fall of 2002. She found it a bit unsettling, but what made it particularly strange for her was that the man doing the kissing happened to be the president of France, Jacques Chirac. She had just been given the assignment of Paris bureau chief for the New York Times, but it only took a few more observations of similar flirtatious acts for her to realize she had cracked an important aspect of French culture. Her new book, La Seduction?
Well, if you're coming to Paris, you can say La Seduction, but in America, I think we say La Seduction.
How the French Play the Game of Life looks at how the art of seduction plays into more than just amour, but also the way the French eat, how they elect their politicians, and all sorts of other things. It's published by Times Books. I'm very pleased to welcome Elaine Chelino to our show today. Hello.
Thank you so much.
So what was it about that kiss that was so disturbing to you? Hadn't anyone kissed your hand before?
Yes, but I had just arrived in Paris. I was with the foreign editor of the New York Times, and we were entering the Élysée for a news-breaking interview with Chirac at the time when the United States and France were having their worst problems in half a century.
Yeah, we weren't eating French fries anymore in this country.
We weren't even calling them French fries, and Chirac shook Roger Cohen's hand, and he took my hand as if it was a delicate piece of porcelain, and he kissed it. And it was unsettling. You used the word unsettling because suddenly, right from the start, he's the man, I'm the woman.
But also, there are different types of hand kissing you learned, known as baisemain. He broke the traditional rules, didn't he?
Yes, because skin touched the lips.
It's usually an air kiss?
It's usually an air kiss, but an air kiss that comes just about, a quarter of an inch away from the hand.
He had done something similar with some very notable women, Laura Bush, Condoleezza Rice, Angela Merkel, so I guess you were in good company.
Well, one of the things that poor Nicolas Sarkozy had to do was to learn how to kiss hands as well, and when he tried to kiss Hillary Clinton's hand at one point, he did it so awkwardly that she lost her shoe.
And Carla Bruni hasn't taught him how to kiss a hand?
She has, actually. She's doing a very good job teaching him politesse, or politeness, as we would say.
Is the word seduction used differently in France than it is in this country?
Absolutely. In America, we think of seduction, and it always has a sexual undertone. In France, it is much lighter and much broader in its definition. It can mean charm. It can mean allure. You can have an opération seduction, an operation seduction in Afghanistan or towards the Palestinians.
And you said that when you Google the word, it turns out to be one of the most overused words in the language. It can be used as in a slogan for coffee or a car repair shop. How would it be used in a car repair shop?
Well, they're on the road between Paris and Compiègne, which is a town about an hour outside of Paris. There's actually on the side of the road a shop, and it was called Auto Seduction. And I thought maybe it's some kind of a weird, self-satisfaction salon.
A backseat romance.
The French version of the Continental Baths. It is a car repair shop, and they just decided that was a wonderful name to attract clients.
But it is also used in the other sense. Is there really a book analogous to a Zagat guide that alerts you to the different kinds of women you could meet in different Paris neighborhoods?
Not only is there a book, but the book that's called A Guide to the Prettiest Women in Paris was written by an official of the foreign ministry, which goes to show how different their culture of diplomacy is from ours.
So did that understanding affect the way you went about your work as a journalist when you were living? Well, you're still living in Paris.
I'm still living in Paris, and I'm still working for the New York Times.
Uh-huh. Does it affect it? When you go in for an interview, for example, you have to be prepared for something quite different than if you're talking to an American official or a business person?
Well, I did everything in my career. I've done everything from look for the Bigfoot monster in South Dakota on horseback to being locked in a room by Colonel Gaddafi when the interview was over. But most of my career was spent either as a diplomatic correspondent or national security correspondent or covering the CIA, where you go right to the point. The goal is to get the story. So you sit down, you open the notebook, you look your target in the eye or your victim, whatever, your partner, and you say, okay, what's the story? I had to learn a completely different way of being. I had to take my time. I had to hide my notebook. I had to drink lots of coffee. I had to have conversations about family and friends and the weather and style and fashion and blah, blah. And only then could we sort of open a conversation about a serious subject.
Well, you also say that part of the problem for you, a reasonable part, is that you're a feminist. And we've been reading all these reports about French women suddenly shocked by what happened with Dominique Strauss-Kahn, revealing that they are afraid to wear skirts, dresses to work, that they consider a normal part of life to have to fend off gropes and the like. So the sexism is a part of this French way of life. That doesn't seem all that pleasant and sophisticated and subtle, does
well,
it?
Well, you hit the nail on the head, because this is an extraordinarily interesting moment in France. I call it France's Anita Hill moment.
Good time for your book to come out.
Well, there's a difference. There's a vast difference between seduction and criminality, and that's what we're dealing with. But I've given it a lot of thought, and if there is one connector, it is the notion of the abuse of power. And in both a seducer, you know, starting with Don Juan, who abused power, to politicians today, who may or may not have been involved in sexual harassment, or in the case of Dominique Strauss-Kahn, charged with a violent act against a woman, there is this notion of power and manipulation.
Well, he was also accused of throwing himself on another journalist. So did you ever interview him?
He never would receive me. I always got a no, so I must not have been charming enough.
But you do say that you had to try very hard not to flirt during your interviews, because that's the best way to get information from some people.
I don't know if I ever said that I had to prevent myself from flirting, or that I had to flirt, because that's not my style. In fact, I've been accused of being an anti-flirt by many of my French friends, who can't understand why I wouldn't get all dressed up in the morning to go out and buy a baguette.
You live in Paris with your husband, and your daughters were there at the time that you cover in this book. Did French attitudes about seduction affect the way your family went about its day-to-day life?
Well, my husband is in a very French law firm. He's American, but he's the only American in a French law firm, and he had to pass the French bar. And one day, a young woman who was also taking the French bar came up to him terrified, because her professor had done one of those dummy classes. Mm-hmm. And she said, he told me I had to be more seductive. And she was horrified that he was asking her to be seductive. And my husband sort of tried not to laugh and said, I think he means that he wants you to be more charming, more engaging.
Because the word seductive can mean all sorts of things in French, you're
absolutely
saying.
And it's that ambiguity, actually, that adds to the frisson of life, but also leads to the negatives, which is sexual harassment.
Well, is that why someone like the former French president, Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, told you that Americans would never be able to understand French culture?
Yes. In fact, Valéry Giscard d'Estaing, in his memoirs, wrote that his secret of political success was that he looked every French woman in the eye on the street, and 17 million French women fell in love with him, but that this was a very French thing to say, and Americans would never understand this.
So did he get more of the women's vote, or at least those 17 million women that he looked in the eye?
He was a one-term president.
And I can't imagine that. I've walked New York is a walking city. I don't think I've been able to walk 17 million people, male and female, in the eye, but that's a whole other matter. Didn't another one of your interview subjects suggest that you'd never be able to understand French seduction unless you took a French lover?
Oh, that's Inès de la Fressange, La Parisienne, the most fabulous Parisian woman, a former model, and the sort of muse of Paris. She was being more than half serious, and basically she said, otherwise it's just going to be a sort of boring analytical book by a very serious, hard-charging New York Times reporter. And I said, but Inez, I'm in love with my husband. She said, that's even better, because she'll go away.
But the implication is that French lovers are different. Did your research turn up anything that might suggest that's true?
My personal research dates back to my first term as a Paris correspondent when I was in my 20s. And I did go out with a French count back then, but that's for another time.
And did you tell your husband what that woman said to you about taking a
lover? Oh, absolutely. What I did is we agreed, Inez and I, that I could take a virtual lover. So I sat at the breakfast table making a list. And my husband said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm making a list of my virtual lovers." And I said, "What about this one? What about this one? What about our downstairs neighbor?" And he was eating Special K and bananas. And he said, "Elaine, I don't know if you should be telling me about this."
Luckily, you're not married to Anthony Weiner. Elaine Chelino's book, La Seduction, How the French Play the Game of Life, is published by Times Books. You said seduction means something different in French than it does in English. What about the word plaisir?
Plaisir is the word for pleasure. And pleasure is not only accepted, but it's expected in France. You're supposed to take pleasure in daily life. You're supposed to elevate the process, not the end result. You know, we Americans, we're like, High Noon, Gary Cooper, Shoot to Kill. The French are fencers. You know, it's all in the act. It's all in the activity before, the anticipation, the excitement, and then the memory afterwards. That's why my chapter on sex is called It's Not About the Sex, because, you know, I just don't get, you know, Sex in the City episodes where it's all about the event having actually taken place, where in most French movies, it's about everything that goes before the chase.
Well, my feeling after having read all of this is that it's amazing that the French industry continues to progress, considering the fact that people are spending so much time on all this other stuff.
Well, that's why I have a chapter about anti-seduction, because it isn't all just one way.
Your daughters got catcalls when they walked down the street. Was it any different than walking down a New York street and having somebody make a kissing sound?
Well, I have two absolutely wonderful daughters who learned how to speak French, so they learned to understand when young men were draguing them or flirting with them. But they were always very benign remarks like, "Ah, vous êtes superbe, you know, you are superb. Ah, you vous êtes magnifique, you're magnificent." It wasn't, you know, "Boy, would I like a blah, blah, blah."
Mama.
You said it.
You write that the etymology of séduire is from the Latin, where the word had moralistic and religious undertones. Do the modern-day French believe that seduction has a moral value?
The French today believe that seduction is very positive. In fact, I think it's one of the reasons why Dominique Strauss-Kahn was forgiven for what were perceived as many of his excesses, because he had the label grand séducteur, grand seducer, but perhaps much of the behavior that could have been considered negative was overlooked because he was so appealing.
Well, a hot topic in this country and in some other countries right now is street harassment, from MTA-sponsored PSAs about harassment on New York City subways to blogs like Holla Back to the slut walk protests that are now gaining global momentum. Do the French have a similar attitude toward public commenting on a woman's looks?
It's changing. I don't know if it's going to be a permanent change. But as you mentioned earlier, there are women who are starting to say, "I don't know if I feel comfortable with this kind of behavior." And this is new.
Well, how did these ideas play into the debate over the way traditional Muslim women are allowed to dress in France?
That's much more complicated, because I'm convinced that part of the reason why there is such negativity towards women wearing something like a burqa, a veil that covers their faces, is that the French demand beauty on the streets. It goes back to the troubadours. They want to have the ability to look at the other. And when the other shuts you out, when the other says, "I reject everything you are," there's a visceral, emotional, historical resonance.
Are French women allowed to participate in the culture of seduction the way men are?
No. It's perfectly fine for any male politician to have as many lovers, maybe not as many. I mean, once one told me you can have 5, but you can't have 1,000.
Well, Mitterrand, for example, was revealed he had a second family and nobody seemed to blink twice. The French were shocked by the American reaction to Bill Clinton's affair with Monica Lewinsky.
No, they still say that the only thing they couldn't understand about Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky was that she wasn't more beautiful.
Well, that kind of sexism must have annoyed you.
Absolutely. This is one of the reasons why I wrote the book, because I thought, you know what? I don't get it. And if I don't get it, my mother-in-law's not going to get it and my kids aren't going to get it. So we've got a good subject here.
But you say seduction is an essential strategy for France's survival as a country of influence.
Yes, absolutely. I think they use it in diplomacy. They use it in politics. They use it in business, in advertising, in everyday life. You know, I don't go to a butcher to buy two lamb chops. I go to a butcher to have a conversation, and maybe I'll buy two lamb chops along the way.
So when it's a male diplomat with a male diplomat, there's still a kind of a seduction?
There's still a kind of conversation, a partage that we often miss. There's the notion of let's talk, let's debate. We may not get to the result, but we're going to have a lot of intellectual foreplay.
You also talk about American diplomatic relations with the French. In the past, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, they did rather well in France. John Adams, less well. A matter of style?
A matter of the desire to have pleasure. You know, Jefferson
well,
and Franklin.
Well, Abigail seemed like a good wife.
John Adams didn't like food and got up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh. And whereas Thomas Jefferson drank Margot even then.
I mean, Ben Franklin perfected his French writing letters to women.
You say the French way of life is threatened by modern technologies, from mass-producing Chinese handbag factories to Facebook. How do they interfere with the French way of life and this whole concept of seduction?
Because you have to get things done. You can't just have pleasure being your modus operandi. It's got to be, okay, when are we going to get the job done? And that is a transformation that is necessary but also troubling.
I'm going to take a moment to tell a personal story here. Many years ago, I worked for a company that wanted to buy something from the Moulinex company. And they had me call, and I said, well, we have a $1 million that we'll put into a bank immediately so that you can give us this product very quickly. And they said to me, we make that product 1 week at the end of August. And we're going to turn down the offer because that would just throw our whole schedule into whack. And Moulinex doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Well,
but that letter of credit never got cashed.
I can put you into the paperback version in the anti-seduction chapter.
Elaine Chelino of the New York Times, her book, La Seduction, How the French Play the Game of Life, published by Times Books. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.